Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Gary Morgan, fresh back from Florida and freezing cold because Pittsburgh was warm while I was gone and cold now that I'm back. Saying hello to my partner in crime, Jim Stamm. How you doing, brother?
Well, I mean, I was going to tell you it was good to have you back, but then I get on and there's like palm trees on our graphics on our screen, and that's just rubbing it in, Gary. So I'm glad to see you're back. I hope you had an okay time. How about that?
It was a great time. It was just, oh my god, tiring. And I think that's what I wanted to start with today. Was one of the first things that I learned, I think, from being down there this year with a different set of eyes than I typically have ever gone to spring training with. You know, I wasn't looking to like learn anything when I was there in the past. You know, I was kind of just looking to watch some players do things and see some games. And, you know, I'm thinking about these games as a competitive fan. I want my team to win. And I have different eyes for it now. You know, I'm looking behind the scenes a little bit more. I'm looking at what's going on in the side fields and who's doing what and why and where's this happening. And I got to tell you, I don't care how much you read, you are not getting the full story of what's going on down there. I don't care if you read the reports from every single journalist that's down there. And I know this for a fact because while I'm talking in the background to the guys I write with, like, you know, Josh and Michael at my site and Ethan and everybody, I'm telling them little things I know, like, hey, Kutch was here playing a scrimmage on the side field over at Pirate City. And, you know, because they were really worried he got scratched. I'm like, hey, he was just playing. He was just running the other day. Like, I don't think it has much to do with that. You know, Grindahl was playing in the scrimmage. Perez pitched almost five innings of this sim game. You know, so there's going to be people asking, where's Martin Perez? Why hasn't he pitched in forever? I didn't see that reported anywhere, you know, that he put that work in. That stuff's going on every day. And I don't think anybody could possibly capture it all.
Oh, there's just so many moving pieces when you talk about how many guys they have in camp, everything they want to get done. Who knows sometimes with what the reasoning is. So, I mean, even little things like having that flu bug going around. I mean, you just don't know. We obviously, everyone wants to read tea leaves, and that's kind of what we're stuck doing a lot. But I'm sure it was just very cool to be down there and getting to see things, you know, in person and getting an eye on things that you otherwise cannot do.
Very cool. Very worth it. You know, if you're somebody that really does nerd out on this stuff, or you know, hanging out at Pirate City in particular, it's hard to think you're going to see something important. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes Malcolm Nunez out to take batting practice, and you see him in fielding practice, and you see them never once stick him at first base. He's at third. The whole time. It's all they do with him is third base. And you know, we're all sitting here like, oh, maybe one day he'll break out and he'll be that first baseman. Well, maybe, but they're not playing him there. they're playing him at third. Like, he's not, he's absolutely not moving off of that position right now. And we all know he can play it already. It's really all about, does the bat make it ever matter?
And it's interesting too, is like, when you get to see guys in the cage taking swings, speaking of a guy like Nunez, he probably looked pretty good. Like, that's the thing. Like, you watch guys in the cage or take BP before games, and they all just look so good. Like, they really do. I remember back in the 90s being at Three River Stadium and watching the Padres take batting practice. Of course, I was there to watch Tony Gwynn and just watch that. But right. there's this dude in there, and he's, Gary, he's raking, and he's like huge, like big, tall white guy. And my buddy and me are looking at each other. We're like, who is this guy? Cause you know, we know all the players there. Gary, it was Dennis Rasmussen, the pitcher. He was raking. Like, they're also like, it's just a cool thing to see in person, but I'm sure he even looked pretty good in the cage.
He looked fine. He's hitting bombs out into the parking lot, you know,
right.
and everybody, you know, and when you're oohing and awing here and there, and you know, he comes over, you can tell like the guys that are closer to the league or the guys that have some pedigree, because they usually have better equipment. They've got some nicer, you know, bling going on. You can just tell those guys versus like the DSL members that are over there, you know?
Right.
There's a ton of those too. The whole production of spring training though, everything that's going on at all these fields, as a fan, it's incomprehensible to even think about all the moving parts. Like, just we went over to Pirate City, Craig and I stayed with Craig Toth from Bucks in the Basement. We hung out pretty much all week. We're over there at Pirate City, and they've got pitchers over here training on one field. They've got fielders over here on another field, hitters here, and then on a fourth field, they've got the single A, basically all-star team that isn't going to be in the prospect showcase from Baltimore, supposed to come over for a scrimmage against the Pirates, you know, players that didn't make that roster. So it was going to be like this kind of like off-brand, you know, showcase.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were looking forward to that. Got canceled at 1:05 with absolutely no reason given whatsoever. So poor Craig was standing there just collecting more sun. I had already bailed on that to head over for the game. But
what you're saying is it's an incredible production.
Yeah.
That has so many different elements to it that it would make your head spin.
Yeah.
Trying to manage it all.
It really would, especially when you watch a game like and you're frustrated that so and so has only gotten so many at bats. The at bats that actually happen in the games, yeah, they're kind of the culmination of everything they're working on. But throughout that day, they've started at like 9:30 a.m. taking swings, doing calisthenics, like out on the field. By the time they get to that 1 o'clock game, or in our case, 3 o'clock game, the one day, they've already put in, you know, a good full day. Right. And yeah, they're not like standing there swinging the whole time, but they're doing stuff all day.
It's
insane.
And then you start to understand more about when you get guys like Kutch, maybe taking it easy on those guys a little bit, you know, late 30s. That's not as easy as when you're in your early 20s. And you start to understand that part of it too.
Yeah. So, hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's talk a little bit about what we've seen take place with the rotation as we've been, you know, getting through this week as best we can as Steelers fans, like all the ins and outs that have been going on with that, and Pitt struggling to stick around in the NCAA tournament picture. And
Gary, we got stolen bobbleheads. We got Pitt on the bubble. Kenny Pickett's an Eagle. Russell Wilson's still. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Me either. So let's take a quick break and gather ourselves.
All right.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. If you hear a little bit of rasp in my voice, it's because I was literally nonstop down there. We went to, you know, bars every night, ran into people every night, ran into people on side fields, gym, tons of fans of this show I met. A lot of people didn't really know what to say when they walked up to me, but I think the ones that did engage a little bit, like Jack and Keith in particular, a couple guys I really had a great conversation with, we're gonna try to get on this show if we can. It's really great when they just walk up and just want to start talking baseball instead of starting to talk about, you know, how much they enjoy the show and everything. I love that, but we just want to talk baseball. That's all this show's about. So to compliment any of us when you see us is just talk about baseball. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, it's literally like us just doing the show. So to me, that's the best kinds of conversations to have.
Absolutely.
If I get at a game and someone wants to really talk baseball, yeah, we're going to do some baseball talking.
We've done it, man. I remember a couple games we've been to. You and I have a hard time listening to somebody that maybe is talking crazy behind us without interjecting every once in a while.
Oh, that's worse than like nails on a chalkboard.
But I'll tell you something that I learned about the spring training crowd, at least this year that I was around. Educated. I mean, like,
I would imagine so, right?
It has not always been my experience that that's the case. This year in particular, though, almost everyone I talked to, let's say Hunter Barco came out in that prospect battle. We'll talk about that game later. And he threw two scoreless innings and just looked electric. And there weren't too many surprised people around. Like, nobody was going, who's this guy?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, he's right. Barely started, so
as opposed to us being at O'Neill Cruz's first game and the kid next to me had no idea that who that was, or yeah. You know,
I will say Atlanta fans had no idea who anybody on our team was, except for Brian Reynolds because they wanted to trade for him, Ke'Bryan Hayes because he beat somebody on their team for an award, and O'Neill Cruz, who they honestly don't distinguish as anything yet. So I mean, like, you would understand that from that fan base because most of them are kind of very centrally focused. They kind of stay within their team and don't bleed out of it very often.
Yeah, you might get people that like pay attention to the division they're in, but very rarely are they going to know about teams outside that. And Pirate fans can be like that too.
I mean, I got to spend a lot of time with the Orioles fans, and you would, and I made a point to talk to them. Like, where are you at with this process? Do you feel good about it? You know, how's, what do you think of the new ownership? Do you think it's going to change things for you? You know, what's happening over there in Baltimore? It looks really good from where we sit. You would be surprised how few were like, yeah, yeah, I love where we're going. Yeah, it's going to get there. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
They really weren't that.
Oh, no, no. In fact, like, they were talking about the whole bottom third of the lineup still being garbage, and they might end up having to trade Urias or even just DFA him. And it's like, he just won a Gold Glove at third base. Are you sure? Like, you know, like, I'm looking from afar. Mateo's not a sure thing for them. I mean, like, for real? You know, they really aren't as sure as, you know, I think a lot of us are watching from afar, that they've done some great things. They're not. And they're bitten too. They truly are waiting for the hammer to drop and have a lot of these guys get traded away, even with the new owner coming in.
That's a shame then. And that's indicative of maybe where baseball stands in general, is where even when you do have hope, it's with the caveat that it can't last but very long.
I was thinking that too. And why don't we move into the prospect battle? Because a lot of this conversation is kind of going to take us there. At the prospect battle, a couple things surprised me. First thing, it was part of a doubleheader. There was no re-entry. So if you came to the first game and you got in with your ticket, you're not allowed to leave and come back, even though we had about an hour and a half to kill in between. They used that time well. In that hour and a half in between those two games, they kind of did an impromptu, like, all these prospects that are going to be playing, go over here in right field, and they're going to sign autographs for an hour. And they did. I mean, it was people just lined up all throughout the whole concourse. I mean, it's exactly what they should have done at, like, Fans Fest, you know?
Yeah.
It was awesome, for real. Like, and people really just got to interact with them and talk to them, and Termar Johnson stood there for a good hour. I think he signed his name maybe 300-400 times. Like, unbelievable.
It's a shame that things have gotten to the point where things are so restricted, because those are the things that have always used to make baseball so great and so personable. And it's so detached now. Like, even if you're at the game, you can't really, like, very rarely do you have a chance to get an autograph from somebody. So that was cool to see. I saw the pictures on Twitter and thought, man, that just brings it back to a time when baseball was really kind of like that all the time. You know?
Yeah. And so it was good to see. And I think it was good for the fans. That said, man, if there were 3,000 people left in that ballpark by the time that game started, I'm probably missing where they were, because it was almost empty.
Really?
And there was a lot of people there for the first game. And it just goes to show, I think, even though these are bigger prospects and everything, and there's a lot of excitement surrounding them, it was not the feature that I think a lot of us hoped it would be. In fact, earlier in the day, like, Craig and I had started getting whispers that they were only going to play 7 innings. That hadn't even crossed our minds. You know what I mean? Well, it turns out, like, they did only play 7 innings, but, like, we didn't know that. In fact, the people running the game didn't know that. Up on the board, like, in game, they had 9 innings allotted, 9 spots. Like, they didn't even have all the graphics set up when the game started. That hour and a half in between wasn't enough, apparently, to get everything plugged in. So the whole first inning and a half with Paul Skenes pitching, we had no idea how hard he was throwing it or anything. They didn't have any of that hooked up. You know, it was after the game we kind of find out, oh, that was 101, 101, 102 to start. We didn't know that. It looked like great fastballs.
Right. But
that wasn't in the stadium where we could actually see that.
Let's talk about Skenes for a second. You got to see him in person. So tell me what that was like. And tell me where you were, so people can get a kind of an idea of how you got to see him.
Well, it was the second time I got to see him in the bullpen because, you know, I've watched him warm up now twice. So that was cool. And then when they play the national anthem, I guess the ex-military there, you should probably understand that he treats it with absolute reverence, but he stands there in full military, like locked up salute, like, you know, the whole time. He doesn't flinch a muscle, no matter how long it goes on. It's something to see, actually. I don't think I've seen it too often on a baseball field. So pretty neat. He comes kind of out of the bullpen, which is a little non-traditional as well. Stands on the field, faces the flag at attention, you know. It's cool to see. Kind of speaks to his character. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important to him. He sticks with that. He's already got a major leaguer demeanor. He pays absolutely no attention to the fans on the way in, pays absolutely no attention to the fans on the way out. He's already a major leaguer, you can tell. I would say on game day too, some pitchers are like that regardless, but I didn't see him interact with anyone ever. The whole time I was down there anyway. When he got on the mound though, he's huge and he's intimidating. And I mean, Jackson Holliday, for instance, had no shot, just no shot against him. That first batter, boom, 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 heat, heat, heat. Absolutely no deception whatsoever to it. Blew it right past him all three times. And that was like a no joke top 100 prospect that he's just whipping. Right. After he struck out Holliday, he turned around and like looked pretty emphatic about how that at bat went for him.
Yeah. I read something that Skeens had a little bit of a reaction. So he was probably pumped up for that.
Oh yeah, he turned around, he did the whole fist pump, marched around the mound, you know, charged right back up it, went after the next batter, boom, boom, right over to shortstop, and game over. You know, I mean, now they only let him go an inning. Again, we were talking about a little bit not understanding what this was going to do to some of these guys. I would just say again, we're not aware of everything going on the side. There's lots of throwing going on that has nothing to do with the games. And I know for a fact he was getting that extra time. They just didn't want it to be in game. So,
well, it's cool. I mean, like we've talked about it. He's had a little more taste of things than we even thought he would, you know, this spring. So I have to imagine though, when you watch him live, it looks different. It looks different.
It does. But I could also say if you're just a Pirates prospect person and you're there, so does Barco. He looks different. So, I mean, Braxton Ashcraft didn't have the greatest inning, but you know, his stuff looks different. Bubba Chandler was impressive, Jim.
Really?
Bubba Chandler was impressive. I mean, his stuff was almost just as good as Skeens for one thing. And he was blowing it past people too. I mean, differently. Skeens will just throw it right down like the pipe. Like, come and get it. And Bubba is more like, I'll make you chase 2 or 3 inches up at 98. You won't touch it. And he just goes after it. Pitch after pitch. He's impressive.
Yeah, what I like about Bubba too is he's got some athleticism to him too. So I think that really helps as a pitcher to have some of that.
Right.
But if you're talking Skeens is one, he's just going to absolutely challenge you at times. And I can't wait to see that when he finally does get here, because he is going to just challenge people.
When you watched Paul Skeens though, I don't see any earthly way that he, short of an injury, doesn't make it this year. He's a major league pitcher. He is. Mm-hmm. I do put value in stretching him out properly and everything. I do understand that the Pirates are intentionally making it take longer than it needs to, so that they can pretend that it's all in an effort to preserve his arm. But yeah, he doesn't need his arm preserved. He just needs to be allowed to throw, I think. And he's going to make that case over the next month or so. And I just don't see a way that they can stand in his way if he's healthy.
Yeah. How are you going to tell Paul Skeens that he's got to stay down there for a year? I just don't see that happening. Now, the people that are just saying he needs to be on the roster opening day, to me, it's one of those things, Gary, where look at baseball in general. When do they ever do that with anybody?
Not very often.
No.
And when they do, you know, they tend to be in Cooperstown at some point, you know, and I get it. And he is that kind of special. He really could be that kind of special. I really believe a couple months of just kind of getting him on some kind of routine, there's not going to be too many excuses left.
Right.
There wasn't anybody, and he only faced three batters, of course, but in those three batters, there was no competition there. You know, and two of them are lefties, you know, that are very highly touted. Like, you know, it's not as though he's going to face competition that's going to challenge him until he gets here. Not really. So,
well, let me ask you this. Obviously, those were kind of like some of the bigger names. Was there anybody else that, you know, as you watched things, did you get a chance to see Termar Johnson at all or anybody else that stuck out to you?
Termar Johnson looked good. He actually looked like he did a couple good things defensively. One, he backed up a pretty poor throw trying to get a stolen base from happening. Ball like was going out to center field. He backed up the position well. That's not something that he's always done. So that's good to see from him. And he was pretty quick out there, took a good at bat. I really liked his approach actually that he took when he had two strikes in the game. Instead of like trying to go after, you know, a home run or just swinging and missing, he almost looked like he was waiting for them to like try to bait him into something outside. And he kind of took this little contact quarter swing and just popped it over to the left side of the infield for like a cheapy hit. And he did that with a runner on base. So like, you know, he made a productive contact there because that was going to get that runner to second one way or another.
Yeah.
So it was good to see that he's able to change his approach a little bit because the first two strikes, he definitely swung out of his shoes. And then that third one, he was able to kind of ramp back and go for contact. That's what I think could make Termar a pretty special hitter. So that's what I want to see.
Did he look like he belonged as well for just from his, cause I've heard that he does, just in his, demeanor, and you wouldn't know that he was 19 years old.
You wouldn't know that he's 19 years old, but he definitely has some, I think, losses of focus defensively at times that are usually indicative of youth and lack of repetition. You know, I think he does need a little bit of work to become a defender. And I think they shouldn't just give up on him being a defender too early. I hate to see somebody like that come up and get pigeonholed as a designated hitter or something. I think he can handle the position. He's got the tools. I think he just needs to focus on it a little bit more and practice it. I wouldn't fool around with putting him at shortstop like they did a few times last year. I think that ship has probably sailed. So just focus on second base. But yeah, he looks the part, man. And he takes a professional at bat one way or another. Results be damned. So I have absolutely no reason to believe that Termar isn't going to make a push here too. That said, he was playing in a game with Chishe Sheng, who looks every bit the part too. Like that kid can play, man. And I think the bat to ball skills have come a good distance from what they were with him, and he's showing some pop. So I think he's going to push his way into this conversation too. That was a very common theme for everybody that we talked about. Whoever wins second base this year out of camp, they're going to be looking over their shoulder immediately. There's just no way to avoid it. The second basemen that are coming in the next wave just have way more promise than the ones that are here, even if they turn into major league players.
Yeah. Yeah, you, and that's the thing this year with this team is whoever does win that second base battle, all you're wanting to see out of them basically is don't fall apart. You know what I mean? Like, let's get something out of that position, whether that's Peguero, whether that's Triolo, whoever they decide to use, because you just don't want it to be a black hole this year.
Right. And I mean, speaking of oddities, there's just a couple things that I wanted to start talking about with some of these spring battles that are going on, Jim. I want to start with a couple of the position ones, then we'll kind of move into some of the pitching. Ryan Lytle says, what do you guys think of Billy McKinney? I think, first of all, he's had a great spring. He really has. He's really played well. Spring means what spring means, but he's bounced around wherever they've asked him to and handled it capably. And he's handled the bat well and taken good at bats. Doesn't look like he's pressuring himself to get hits. He's taking his walks. He's running the bases well. He's not making mistakes. That's really the best thing you can say about him. With Palacios being injured and Kutch, you know, because I don't think Kutch is ready yet. And I don't think they're slow walking him, to be honest with you. They didn't even let him run in that scrimmage that he played the other day. When he would get to first base, they'd replace him along with Grandal. So it tells me they're either not happy with where it is or they're, you know, at least babying it. Right. I would put your dreams of him playing the field out of your head right now. And Palacios, between the injury and the flu, I don't know how you don't think his roster spot's in trouble. He's got an option. You know, I could easily see Billy McKinney getting that spot over him.
That's interesting because McKinney has had, I mean, he's gotten on base a good bit. I mean, essentially everything that they've asked him to do, he has done it. I still think it's, to me, he's on the side of nice story. I don't know if they'll be willing to put him on an opening day roster, but it wouldn't shock me either. It wouldn't. I still think if they can get Palacios up to speed, or they think he can get up to speed quickly, they might do it. But
I mean, my thought is they probably are going to have a 40-man spot to burn pretty easily. So if they want to do it, sure. I feel the same way for some of the rotation pieces too, like Willie Peralta, Chase Anderson, you know, even Eric Lauer. There's a possibility they could do that with any of those guys and give them a 40-man spot. We're going to talk about the rotation mostly in the third segment here. So I will get to Wilbert's question here. 13 days left. Who's our starting five? We'll start talking about that. Let's finish up the position battles though, Jim, because second base, I think, has taken shape to a degree. We've kind of given Leiver Peguero like the leader in the clubhouse, you know, status there at the beginning. And I feel like Jared Triolo has cemented himself a spot on the team. I think that's going to happen one way or another. Utility role, second base, I don't care. He's going to be on this team. I think he's proven that he's ready for that. Nick Gonzalez has done more than I think people are giving him credit for this spring. He's making some solid contact. He's cutting back on some of those strikeouts. At least he's not swinging at garbage anymore. I think that he's making a case, and they're playing him at other positions they haven't normally. I think seeing if he can potentially be a backup at shortstop, and they've been playing him there to see, and third base. So potentially Nick Gonzalez has at least pulled even with Peguero.
Feels like fans have almost forgotten about Michael Taylor. This is, I said Michael Taylor because I'm just reading what Harrison Boyd put on here about the Pirates signing Michael Taylor. But feels like the fans have almost forgotten about Gonzalez a little bit, haven't they? Seems like
it really does. And hey, that if that's true, there, because I'm not going to bother looking in the middle of the show here. But if Michael Taylor is truly here, that probably takes your Billy McKinney conversation we just had and throws it out the window. But it tells me that they don't think Oliveris came through the way they hoped. And it tells me that they're not especially satisfied with a whole bunch of their right field depth right now.
Okay, Jason Mackey is reporting the Pirates have signed Michael Taylor to a one-year, $4 million contract. That's really good, Gary. That's really good.
It is really good. And he's a really quality center fielder. At $4 million, that doesn't mean he has to start every day either. But that's a quality right-handed bat. He does have some power, too, if you play. He doesn't hit for average, but he does hit for power. Got some speed. Defense is good. He's going to be the best center fielder that you've seen play here since Starling Marte. I think even better than Reynolds' Gold Glove season, because that was kind of fluky too.
So what do you think that does to them defensively? How does that shake out?
Depends on how much they play him, but that means Jack will move to right field. So I think it makes them a better defensive team.
It's away. Right. He played, I don't know if he was hurt at all last year. He played 129 games, 124 the year before, 142 in 21. So he's still playing quite a bit.
He is, but he wasn't making $4 million a year either. Now he is. That changes how much you have to expect a guy to play. I think we'll probably save our comments for this until we've had more time to think about it. But
it's interesting.
It is interesting. And thank you for telling us. Who was it? Was it Harrison?
Harrison.
Harrison Boyd told us here about that. Thank you so much. Love that in-game stuff. That's pretty cool. Let's take one more quick break because we have to be timely today, Jim.
Yeah, we do.
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Don't forget to support our sponsor, Yinz, at shopyinz.com. You can get cool gear like this that some of you saw me rocking around spring training to the embarrassment of my wife. And then Doug wanted to talk about Gonzo real quick, turning Gonzo into just decent depth, though. Yeah, no doubt. But somebody's gonna. I mean, like, I don't really care who does that. If that's where you end up being, that's where you end up being. You're still a major league player, then it's a successful pick. So,
yeah, I think that's what you're going to have to look at, like with Gonzalez. I mean, it's clear that maybe things aren't going to pan out like we had hoped it would for him. But if he can still have a defined role and be serviceable, it's still something rather than just completely busting on the pick entirely.
Right. So let's talk rotation a little bit because some things have taken shape. Martin Perez, obviously in it. Good. I think we're all pretty happy with what we've seen from him. And I mean, I got to see even more. I got to see him play in that scrimmage a little bit. So looks great. There's just I don't have any complaints, questions. In fact, he looks better than he did at any one point last year, really, to me right now. Even last year, a lot of his overall stats were results of a few blowups,
right?
Not necessarily like consistent bad. So And I think he's still going to be prone to that. If he's off, he's off. I think you're going to find Keller hasn't pitched great. Keller's also said countless times now he isn't even thinking about his velocity or spin or anything. He's just talking about executing, number of pitches, getting to his innings, getting to a point where he's healthy to ready to start the season, and he knows it's there when it needs to be there. We'll see if his confidence is misplaced, but you know, I have no reason to question why he's going to be a good pitcher this year. Marco Gonzalez had a terrific outing the other day. Yesterday, actually.
You don't know what day it is right now.
Well, dude, no. Great outing, though, for real. One bad inning, fought back from it pretty well. Even that was really some bloops and you know, I would say an extra discriminating umpire for an inning out of no reason whatsoever. But he pitched a really good, clean game. That was the best I've seen him. That's vintage Marco Gonzalez from back in the Seattle days when he was good. That's exactly what you want to see if you're hoping for him to return to before even that. I think you were probably wishing for a bit much. I think he's going to earn every bit of that $3 million from us, Joe.
For sure.
Definitely. So I feel okay about going into the season with him. Still wish they had done more, but hey, maybe they're showing us with this Michael Taylor thing, they are going to do more, no matter how late it is. Rowanzi's in trouble, brother. Just ain't there.
Yeah.
I mean, he blew up in Dunedin on Wednesday. Just could not find the strike zone. You've seen it before. He gets that look in his eye, like it's not working, nothing's working. He almost like starts slamming his feet in the ground, like he's getting upset with himself. I don't know what to do with him. I don't think you can put him in the bullpen either, Jim. Or is he going to wind up being a casualty? Or are they going to go, my shoulder?
Oh, man. It's tough, Gary. He has not shown enough that you can say, I don't think you can say, well, we're just going to put him out there and hope for the best, because like he would have had to have this spring. Now he's got what? And well, they're 13 days out from a roster. I don't know how many more opportunities he's going to have to show them that he's progressing, because does he look a little better? Yeah. But does anything with him look really good? Anything he's doing that looks like you can say, okay, well, if he doesn't have this, he at least has this.
When he's placing the slider, yes. But when he's not placing the slider, no. And the fastball is plenty good. You know, we're talking about like not having the velocity. He's got the velocity now. Problem is, to get the velocity, he has to go back to what he was before, which is a pitcher that can't place the velocity.
Yeah, he struggles with placement. It's such a big problem for him.
It's what got him in trouble in the first place. So I'm not really sure how you go forward with that. Ortiz has looked, I think, the best of those big three with Rowanzi, Priester, and Ortiz. I think Ortiz has looked the most consistent. He has the velocity where he wants it. He's still not placing it, but I also think he's kind of adapted enough with the sinker to get away with it. You know, he's what you would consider effectively wild. I do think he's going to come up against an extremely patient team here and there that's going to pick him apart. And if he's on his game, all that does is turn Luis Ortiz into an effective 4 or 5 inning starter, as opposed to when the team is free swinging and he can go 6 or 7 on occasion. That's the kind of starter I think he is at this stage of his career. But I do think he's going to make it.
What about, let's talk about Priester a little more, and let's talk about Falter.
Yeah, Falter to me is still out of the picture even after his good start the other day. But the team obviously has always had a soft spot for him, so I certainly could see them decide that they want to go that route. I think it's hard to run a 5-man rotation with 3 soft-tossing lefties. I don't know how you separate them. You know, I mean, you'd have to have Keller in between and what Ortiz as the other in between and bounce around that way. It could work. I personally would be all out on Falter. He'd be a pretty easy 40-man casualty for me.
Me but. Too, but then he has a start like that, and you know they're giving him every opportunity to take one of those spots. It's like
I do. I would also say that some of the NRIs are pushing their way into the conversation to at least get a look, right? And you never know what their opt-out clauses are. Could they end up like leaving? That might put some pressure on somebody to make the roster that wouldn't have tended to, you know. Like, you can't discount what Chase Anderson's done. He looks pretty good. You can't discount that they just signed Eric Lauer, although I have it on pretty good authority Eric's fine going to the minors to start.
I would think at this point that that's what the plan would be to get him, not to rush out.
Yeah, and they are. I think Wilbert actually asked if we knew what was going on with Eric. Somewhere. And he said Lauer pitched. He's going to be pitching here in the next couple of days. That actually just got reported by somebody that he was throwing today, and he's probably going to be pitching. David Bednar is close too. He's, I believe, scheduled to throw off the mound here tomorrow. So that should wind up happening. And then I think he's got a good shot to make the opening day roster. Well, the only reason I say that is because if Bednar's not 100%, why wouldn't you just toss him on the 10-day IL and make right. sure it's right. I mean, if he hasn't pitched all spring, why force it, right?
No, I would do exactly that with him. I don't think I think it'd be foolish just to say, okay, well, you've had very, very little, you know, work at all, and now we want you to go 100 miles an hour on night one.
Right. Peralta has been lights out. I don't know what else to say.
Let's talk about him, right?
Because Willie Peralta to me has just I think he's won himself a spot. I don't care if it's in the bullpen or the rotation, even if they wanted to go that route to start. I love what I've seen from him. It's vintage Willie Peralta. Again, we talk about like vintage. When guys have laid down track of what they can be, and then they show you consistently for 3-4 weeks in a row that hey, I'm back to what I can be. You know, sometimes you got to believe them. That's why you bring in these NRIs. You hope that they're getting back to that.
Peralta's a guy that I would find some kind of way to get something out of him. He's like that guy that you always see you go to a bunch of parties and he's just always there. No one really invited him, but he gets his way in there. He makes the party list somehow. Peralta finds a way. He's a veteran guy that knows how to get guys out.
So to answer that question, like who is our starting five? I don't think we can yet. I don't think the Pirates could yet. I think they probably have a much murkier look at what they would want it to be now, because the dream of Rowanzi, I'm sorry, it has to be dying. There just isn't anything he's shown that makes you feel like it's going to be any better against better competition. I think they're going to have a really hard time rostering him the way things are currently sitting. And I think they're going to have a really hard time looking at what players like Billy McKinney have done and just see it. So be it. Right. I mean, especially if it comes down to like those Palacios get up a 26th man spot. I don't know that you're going to be able to make that call if you have a chance to keep both. You might want to keep both.
And we haven't
said even this Michael Taylor thing changes all that. Maybe that doesn't matter at all.
Oh yeah, I think it very well could. And you know, speaking of all this, I want them to let Jared Jones do his thing. Back to the pitching real quick is because we haven't even mentioned him. Is for me, I'd start him in the rotation. I really would.
Yeah, they're not gonna. I know they said they're gonna, but they're not.
I would.
I don't think he's gonna be stretched out enough, and MLB did not bake in enough incentive to play that game. So he's gonna go down for a couple of weeks. And I think he'll push his way back into this conversation should they need it to happen. But that's another guy they have to be careful with innings on too. So we talked about slow starting him so that he'd have something left in the tank towards the end of the season. That to me would be the reason not to start him right out of the gate. If only because I don't want to ask him to give me five or six every day at the major league level right now. I don't think that he's ready for that either.
Probably not. I think you'd have to be a little careful with him. When I look at this rotation, I think that that's the biggest thing that I'm seeing is do you have enough guys that can give you enough innings starting games? Can, you know, when you're talking about, can you get five innings out of somebody? You know, Priester, we know what happens when Priester gets second and third time through lineups. Rolanzi's a mess. Ortiz, you know, what if he's 70 pitches in and it's three innings? You know, do they have enough guys that can give you enough innings out of their starts where you're not taxing things? That worries me.
Yeah, I mean, the Ortiz conversation, it's really, yeah, he'll do that sometimes, like you just said. But sometimes he's going to hit that 70 pitch mark at the end of five. And it's really going to kind of depend on how that other team is and how pinpoint his stuff is. If he's actually placing, you know, some of his off-speed stuff, Luis Ortiz is really, really hard to hit. He's really hard to square.
Stuff is there.
Yeah, I think Luis Ortiz, out of those three, he's earned a spot. He has. I think so anyway. And I think you and I touched on this a couple times already. Dude gave them 80 innings last year of major league work. That he's not like an untested entirely child here. This is a dude that has come up here and sacrificed and paid his dues and not had his best stuff and fought through it for this team already. I think he has earned a shot this spring. He come in better shape. He looks like more determined. He's doing exactly what they ask him to do. He's throwing the sinker when he starts getting in trouble with the other stuff. You know, I think that's all they wanted him to do, really, was have an escape hatch. And I think he's developed a little bit of an escape hatch that maybe he can stop the bleeding. You have to see if that works. This is a guy that can hit 100, too. This isn't somebody that you want to flush. I remember his debut, man. I can't remember being that excited about a starting pitcher.
He's somebody that if he were doing the same things Rolanzi was, you find a way to still keep him. You find, because the stuff is too good. It's just whether he can harness it all. I think, like, for me, you've got Keller, you've got Perez, you've got Marco, Ortiz, and then I don't know. I'm not sure, Gary. I don't know what that fifth spot is.
I would be happy if it was Quinn, but I don't think he's necessarily done enough to show that he should get one of those five when there are other viable options. For instance, I don't even think he could necessarily claim that he's pushed aside Bailey Falter, right? Now, his last outing was much better than the box score. That home run, the grand slam, killed that line. But he had a really good game up until then. One of his better ones. Problem is, with Quinn, though, that's a situation he's got to show he could get out of.
Right.
You know, and without it being a grand slam. You want to give up a sac fly? Okay, I get it. But, like,
yeah,
you don't just throw in a sweet spot homer. Like,
I forget what it was. Is something happened in that inning where he maybe shouldn't have even been in that spot. But
it was an error. Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was just a terrible call or an error or whatever. But yeah, I mean, when you do have that happen, and they are going to happen, you have to be able to work through it a little bit. On top of the fact that he's already shown that getting through lineups sometimes for him can be a little challenging.
Right. I think part of what I think they might need to do with him is send him to the minors, force him to start showing that he can go through the lineup a couple times, even at that level. And then he'll get his shot this year. Injuries happen. Let's not pretend like it's a guarantee that Marco Gonzalez is going to be pitching in August for anybody, let alone the Pirates.
So that fifth spot.
It's up in the air to me. It could be an NRI. It could be a piggyback situation. It could be Bailey Falter. It could be.
I guess
it could be Jared Jones. They said he's part of the competition. Well, don't let my jaded attitude change your mind if you think he's done it.
I think he should get it. I think that rotation looks a lot better with him in it. Wouldn't shock me, Gary, if Bailey Falter's the fifth starter. It really wouldn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me, but I will definitely not like it from the beginning. No,
hey, I didn't say you'd like it. I'm just, especially if he throws if he has another start like he just did, they're going to give him a chance.
I think more to the point with the rotation, though, by like June, I think you're going to have a real hard time not having Jared Jones and Paul Skeens as part of it. So, you know, even if Luis Ortiz is good, you know, even if Marco Gonzalez looks all right, even if Martin Perez, you're not going to make a move to replace somebody who's excelling. But anybody could kind of fall off at any point. And I think that those two are going to be waiting in the wings alone, followed quickly by Brubaker and Burrows, like getting a chance or to taste it a little bit again. You're going to probably see some starters potentially start in the bullpen. I think that's the way they're going to have to do things. You're going to have guys that have traditionally always been starters come up and earn a little bit of MLB time somehow, some way.
And maybe a couple of those guys are going to have to be like a little bit more innings eaters out of those roles than they normally would just because of the situation.
Yeah. All that said, by May, we could be talking about like, oh my God, we've only got Keller and, you know, you know how pitching is that we talk about it all the time. So yeah.
God forbid Mitch Keller's in his second start and he's hitting 92 miles per hour on the gun. And you're just like, okay, well now I'm officially worried.
Yeah. I think the best way to look at the rotation really is to kind of look at a grouping of 10 guys that you think could participate. That's the way I like to do it. I like to do it almost as more of a depth chart exercise where you kind of are going through your top 10 starting options. And as far as reality goes, because, you know, like I like Michael Kennedy is one of my favorite prospect starters. I'm not going to include him in my list, but I think you give yourself like that depth of 10. I think these 10 have a shot. And then here's this five that maybe they would be like a break glass in case of emergency situation type pitcher. That's the way I tend to look at the rotation. The starting five at the beginning of the season is important, but it just so rarely stays together for even like a month at a time.
For a lot of teams, there's always some juggling going on there. I think versatility is going to have to be key, though, when we look at these spots. I really do. I think they're going to have to be a little bit interchangeable, at least like Doug is saying about patching things together until June. Douglas Smith made that comment that I can see that. I can see that that's what they're going to try to do.
I can see that too. And I can see that almost more so if they decide that, you know, Bailey Falter is that fifth guy, because I think by naming him that fifth guy, I don't necessarily think they believe he's going to become like this really, really good starter as much as I think they feel he's going to get them through the order once and then pass it off to somebody else who's going to get them through the order again. Maybe that's how Chase Anderson, Willie Peralta, and Peralta all make the team. You know,
that's how I see a Peralta being used, especially.
Yeah. So, and I like him. And Eric Lauer is no slouch if he's back to where he was. Now, I just don't think there's enough time in spring for him to show that. But Eric Lauer could easily make himself part of this conversation. And you know, we're talking about like, oh, Jared Jones should make it. He's the superior talent to Eric Lauer, but Eric Lauer has been doing it for 10 years. Eric Lauer can do it. You know, like, you know, he can do it. So, I mean, like there's weight that's going to be given to guys like that earlier in the season. I think you're going to see things like that that maybe don't make sense. I hate to repeat myself from last year, but we are going to like this team a lot better at the end of this year than we do right now. I think that's true.
I think people, well, you know, there's some hope right now with the Pirates offense. So maybe if the pitching's not where it's supposed to be early, that maybe some of this offense is going to carry over. Yeah. And then maybe some of this pitching comes along. But Gary, I mean, you're talking 13 days till opening day. That means they have about 10 days to figure everything out.
Do you want to hate me? Because I can end this on a hot takey moment.
Go ahead.
Hot takey moment. Rowdy Tellez has done really next to nothing this spring, and I kind of expected that. He does look to be in better shape. Everybody seems to like him and everything. And he's playing a little bit better defense than I necessarily thought I would see. I'm giving him as many kudos as I possibly can to build up to. He got pulled from that game yesterday earlier than all the other starters for some reason. Nobody explained it really. I didn't see an injury or anything. All I know is he didn't really run out a ground ball, and then he didn't come back out onto the field. And Jake Lamb has been killing it.
Oh boy.
Don't be shocked.
Oh boy.
I only say that because if Rowdy winds up on the IL, I think that's the direction they'd go.
You just lost Jake Gensel and you still want Jake Shakes, and you're going to make sure it happens one way or the other. So
no, I like my toes, man. I don't want diabetes. So I don't eat Jake
Shakes. Okay. So Jake Lamb is your little sleeper for
Jake Lamb. Looks good, man. He really does. He looks better than Rowdy to me. I mean, for real. That said, different roles. Rowdy's there for the power and whatever, but I'm just saying, if there's anything there, if there is an injury, I think that that's the direction they would go. I don't think it would open a door for a prospect. I don't think it would be Joe or Triolo every day. In fact, I haven't even seen Connor Joe take one rep at first base for as long as we've been saying he's the backup over there. I haven't seen him do it once this spring in any capacity. So
yeah. Well, yeah,
haven't seen Jared over there either.
Hey, I think Brandon Belt's still out there if you want to get real crazy.
Yeah, I think Brandon Belt is going to stay out there. But well, we should probably end the show, brother, because I know you got some stuff to do and Ben, the personality's got stuff to do too. So let's just let him say goodbye. Let me rest up for spring. And then next week we'll talk more. Yep. Good stuff. Yeah, buddy. Thanks, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.